From the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds, and into the cosmos, we're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. Yep, it's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. Yes, we're going to talk this hour about the White House ghost photo investigation. And boy, this is something that I have wanted to dig into for a long time. I finally decided that this was going to be the year when I rolled up my sleeves, traveled to D.C. to dig into the trenches and find out what in the world is the real story, what is the truth behind this photo. And you know what? What I discovered actually led me to boldly proclaim this image as the world's most amazing ghost photo. And I'm going to justify that completely tonight, this hour of the show. And again, even if you've heard me talk about this on some other radio show, well, you're going to get a different take, a more thorough, slower paced, more nuanced understanding of what it took to dig into this image. But first, let me point something out. Of course, I'm here right now in Puerto Rico, where I man the Bermuda Triangle Research Base part of the year. We have producer Sam Still in the Asheville studio, along with investigator Shelley Wright. And Sam, you and Shelley, I'm sure, recall last year, a couple of people took one of my haunted Asheville ghost tours and contacted me afterward and said, check this out. We took a picture on your tour on Church Street that we think shows a ghost.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And so we all looked at this picture, and sure enough, it looked like a woman standing there. It was slightly distorted, but still a very clear woman's form standing outside of a church on Church Street. Now, mind you, I could have easily taken that image right off the bat and said, whoa, look at this. Look how cool this is, and put this out there to the world and proclaimed this to be some kind of a great ghost photo, because I had a financial interest in promoting that, in saying, hey, if you come on my ghost tour, look what you might see. Look what you might capture on your camera. But I did not jump to that conclusion. On the contrary, I did everything possible to get to the bottom of that image. I invited the photographer on the program. We interviewed him. We took the picture and we sent it out to all the best experts that I know. And as it turns out, this ended up being a photograph of one of the tour guides who had stepped, unbeknownst to the photographer, into a strange position when the photographer didn't realize anybody else was around, and we had a perfectly logical explanation for the image. So I want to use that, and I could give you many examples, but give you that as proof that I am not a person who is here to just jump to conclusions. I'm very critical, I'm very cautious, and I want to make sure that before I proclaim something as being legit, that I can back it up. And I'm telling you that I can back up my claims when it comes to this picture. So keep that in mind. So here's the real story behind how all this began. In the late 1940s, Harry S. Truman was the president of the United States. We'd just come out of World War II. And the White House was literally crumbling on the inside. Truman had a daughter named Margaret who liked to play the piano. And she had a piano, I think it was a baby grand, and it actually started kind of falling through the floor in one of the rooms of the White House. And then one night, Truman himself was taking a bath when the claw foot of his bathtub broke through the floor and gave him quite a jar. And that's when he said, okay, that's it. This is the last straw. We've got to fix the inside of the White House. And so he had the power and the authority at the time to make this happen. He moved into another residence near the White House, and I'm telling you, they went in there for about 4 years, and they just gutted the White House. They totally just took everything out and rebuilt it. This is not a renovation. This was a reconstruction of the inside of the White House. Now, knowing this was of great historical significance, Truman hired a National Park Service photographer named Abby Rowe to document the entire process. Now, Rowe was originally hired by Franklin D. Roosevelt, Truman's predecessor, and as a matter of fact, by the time of Abby Rowe's death, he had become the most trusted photographer for five different presidents. So he had impeccable credentials. He was extremely competent. He had the best technology available. And he knew that the moment that he exposed a piece of film, that he was actually capturing U.S. history right there. And he took his job very, very seriously. Everybody will tell you that. And so we start with the credibility of the photographer and his images. And then we get to fast forward now up until the year 2008. In 2008, I was contacted by a man named Bob Martin, who lives in Missouri, and he listens to me on the radio. And Bob Martin had been reading a book by David McCullough, which was a Pulitzer Prize winner, called Truman, a biography of Harry S. Truman. And it contained a lot of black and white archival photographs. And Bob Martin noticed this one image that Abbey Road took inside a holdout section of the White House that showed this strange figure. Now, hopefully you can get to joshuapwarren.com or speakingofstrange.com and click the link to look at this picture and watch the report. But if you haven't seen it yet, let me kind of describe it for you. It's a large image, probably taken with a medium format camera. And again, it shows a big gutted out section of the White House. In the foreground, there is a bulldozer operator who is sort of posing there on his bulldozer looking at the camera. And in the background, you have three men who kind of look like supervisor types, some kind of contractors, whatever. And they're standing off to the left side, and they're positioned slightly behind a vertical beam. But there is another figure in this photograph that is aligned with the bulldozer operator, but toward the back, and this figure looks completely out of place. It is a clear, translucent figure of what appears to be a man, especially gauging his height, which we'll get to later. Now, this is not the kind of thing where it's like looking at a cloud and saying, well, this could be an elephant, this could be a dragon. I mean, no. You look at this, and you see a clear human form there, except even though it has a distinct boundary and a head and two arms and a torso and legs and all that, he appears translucent. Now, I am very familiar with photography. I actually used to own a medium format camera, and I took God knows how many medium format pictures with different exposure times. I've taken all kinds of long exposures. I've taken double exposures. And I also know a lot about the business of film in general, not just still photography, but also filmmaking. And I know a lot of people who have, you know, a great deal of experience with this. So I understand the dynamics of how a picture is taken, especially how it would have been taken in 1950. And so I always was curious about this image. But I wanted to know more about it. You know, was there a negative out there I could take a look at? What's the real story behind this thing? Now, C. Eric Scott has been a friend of mine for probably 15 years. I call him jokingly my partner in crime. We have worked on all kinds of movie and TV projects. He and I worked together producing all the segments I did for Paranormal Paparazzi on the Travel Channel for an entire season. We worked together on the Warner Brothers production, The Apparition. We worked together on shoots for the Discovery Channel and Travel Channel. I mean, I can't even remember all the stuff that he and I have done. And Eric is based there in Washington, D.C. So earlier this year, I went to Washington, D.C., set up a base camp, so to speak, at Eric's place, and then decided to go out and get to the bottom of this photograph. And as I mentioned before, it's amazing because I felt like I was being bounced around like a pinball between the Truman Library and the National Archives and the U.S. National Park Service and the White House and the Secret Service. I mean, to be more specific here, the Truman Library has got the best public or publicly accessible collection of these Abbey Road photographs. And so I started my quest contacting the Truman Library. And they told me, well, we have prints. We've had prints here from Abbey Road's work since the 1950s, but we don't have any of the negatives. And they said they advised me to talk to the National Park Service office at Harper's Ferry, West Virginia. So I contacted Harper's Ferry, and the guy there was he was great. He was very receptive to my contact. But he told me, he said, well, we used to have all the negatives here. He said, but they had to be moved out of here in the 1970s. And that's because President Jimmy Carter in the 1970s signed an executive order classifying all of these Abbey Road materials because they showed the interior of the White House and claiming that this is a national security risk. And so he said that they would have been shipped from the Harper's Ferry location to the U.S. National Park Service Museum Resource Center in Landover, Maryland. So I contacted the director of the Museum Resource Center in Landover, Maryland, and he said, well, we have millions of items in this collection, so I'm going to pass you off to this other guy, this other staffer that I put in charge of helping you find what you need. So I talked to the other staffer, and after a couple weeks, he said, well, I have some prints here, but I don't have any negatives. We don't know where the negatives are now, but you're welcome to come here and look at what we've got. So I went to the facility in Maryland. They wouldn't let me film inside. I looked at what they had, and when we come back from this break, I will tell you what I saw there. And then how that led me down a deeper rabbit hole with the U.S. government trying to get closer to the negative of this notorious photograph. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
A smile from a veil. Do you think you can tell? Thank you.
Hope you're enjoying the Halloween season. I certainly am. We have a lot of fun here on Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. Write the number down, 828-298-5402. Or you can go to WrightsCoinShop.com. That's WRIGHTS, WrightsCoinShop.com. We'll talk more later with Investigator Shelley Wright about what kind of fun things are being planned at Wright's Coin Shop for the rest of the year, because, gosh, can you believe it? The year is almost over. It's going to be 2016 before you know it. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and right now we're talking about my investigation into the White House ghost photo. Well, eventually I was referred to a man. I think I am perfectly justified in giving his name out on the air because he's a public servant, but I'm not going to. I just don't want there to be an impression that I'm trying to put anybody on the spot. If you email me and you ask who these characters are that I'm dealing with, I'll be happy to give you their information, their phone number, their email addresses, because these are government employees. But they referred me to a man who is a White House liaison between the U.S. National Park Service and the Secret Service and the White House. And long story short, when it comes to access, is that I was eventually in touch with a woman with the U.S. National Archives at College Park, Maryland, who said, "We've got a big collection of Abbey Road negatives here. And this is pretty much like the end of the road. So if this negative is not in this drawer, then nobody knows where it is. But you can't even see what's in this drawer unless it's approved by the Secret Service." And let me tell you, I did everything possible to formally request access to that, and the Secret Service would not grant it. And I think it's important for me to remind all of you, if you don't know this already, you know, I talked about this last week. I was born in the United States. My family on both sides have been in the U.S. for literally hundreds of years. I have no criminal record. I've never been in trouble with the law. I am a passport-carrying citizen. I have been inside the White House, okay? I was granted clearance to go into the White House and take a tour in 2011. Why should I not be granted access to go into a National Archives facility and look at the negative of a photograph that I already have, a photograph that has been published in a Pulitzer Prize-winning book, a photograph that is available to publicly look at? What's the problem? Why shouldn't I be able to see it? Well, we'll dig into that a little bit later. But here's what I can tell you. Even though I was not able to, I was not granted access legally by the Secret Service to go into the archives to try to find that negative, we still know that it's a legitimate government photo. Nobody contests that. As a matter of fact, the Truman Library, which has the best quality print, got their print from the negative in the 1950s. So, I mean, there's no question that this figure is in the photograph. Now, the next thing that we did, Eric and I, is we decided to go and, well, of course, I interviewed the chief White House historian at the White House Historical Society and talked to him about the Abbey Rose situation and all that on camera. And then we went to the Torpedo Factory, which is a big studio in Alexandria, Virginia, where some of the D.C. area's most experienced photographers work, and we got their analysis. And the only thing that these guys could really come up with is, well, it must be some kind of a long exposure or something like that. So when you watch this video report, what you see is that Eric, who is a professional photographer with all kinds of state-of-the-art cameras, and a film school graduate, Eric and I decided to go out to see if we could actually recreate this effect, basically to get a translucent human figure with a distinct clear boundary without washing out the background, because this image appears to be perfectly exposed. And we spent hours and hours and hours doing our best to try to reproduce this effect, and we were never able to do it. And at that time, we came to the conclusion that, well, you can't get a ghostly figure like this, especially under the circumstances that Abbey Row was shooting in, using a long exposure without just blowing out at least the background of the image, because this was a well-lit construction work zone site. And hold that thought, because I'm going to get back to that in a minute when it comes to the new evidence. I told you there's new evidence, a new update that I have to share with you. But in our research, as we continued looking into, you know, the fact that there was no way that we could reproduce this, we didn't understand how this could have been done according to the conditions present, I still was curious as to, like, well, if this is a ghost, is there a way of telling who it is? Is it a servant or whatever? I didn't know when we were doing our investigation what part of the White House we were looking at. And eventually, I was able to learn from the Truman Library that this photograph, which shows this apparition, this full-bodied apparition, is the east view along the south wall of the White House. Now, here's what that means. The White House is 55,000 square feet. It has 132 rooms. And yet that figure just so happens to be standing directly beneath the Lincoln bedroom. Now, the Lincoln bedroom is the space where Abraham Lincoln had his actual office during his presidency. During the Civil War, those walls were plastered with military maps. That is the room where he signed the Emancipation Proclamation. And throughout the years, it is Abraham Lincoln's ghost that has been seen more prominently than any other in the White House by credible witnesses. There have been many articles written about this. My favorite story is the story from Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of England. And Churchill was staying in the Lincoln bedroom, and he had a crazy experience. Do we need to take a break, Sam? No?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, are we, okay. are we a little early?
I think we're a little early,
oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Continue with your story.
All right. Winston Churchill was staying in the Lincoln bedroom, and he liked to end his evenings with a nice bath with a glass of scotch and a cigar. And he gets out of the bathtub, butt naked, save his cigar, okay? Walks from the bathroom, and he sees the tall, lanky form of Abraham Lincoln leaning up against the fireplace. To which Winston Churchill, in his typical style, removes his cigar from his mouth and says, "Good evening, Mr. President. You seem to have me at a bit of a disadvantage." And Lincoln smiled and then disappeared.
Churchill was a heavy drinker.
He was a very heavy drinker, but he lived to an old age, and he saved England. Okay, when we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you more about people encountering Abraham Lincoln's ghost, and then we're going to move into why I think this is the picture of Abraham Lincoln's ghost. And then later, we're going to dig into some really weird territory. We're going to go deep down the rabbit hole, and I'm going to explain to you why that I think there may be a conspiracy in place to prevent historians and folks like me from getting access to these negatives. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is the music from Young Frankenstein. So,
put the candle back.
Yeah, it's just one of those movies that, not you know, it's a good Halloween-y film, but it's one that makes you smile. That's a weird combo.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah. Hey, welcome back to Speaking of Strange, everybody. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And let me remind you now, I hope that somewhere in your house, probably on your fridge, under a magnet, you have written this number, 828-298-5402. You can call and talk to Shelley Wright and get involved, so to speak. 828-298-5402. We're going to talk to Shelley a little bit more later. Hope you're enjoying one of our little Halloween editions of the show. And I'm in the middle of telling you about just an incredible story. It's the story of what I believe is the world's most credible and amazing ghost photograph, the White House ghost photo. It's been around a long time, taken in 1950. And yet it's taken a while before anybody sort of realized its significance. It's not that surprising. That happens all the time when you go back and review history. And I was talking before the break about how Winston Churchill once encountered the ghost of Abraham Lincoln. There are plenty of great stories about people encountering Lincoln. By the way, think about this for a second. The oldest woman, or let me put it this way, the oldest person on historical record, verified, who ever lived, was a woman in France. She died in 1997, and she was 122 years old. Abraham Lincoln was assassinated 150 years ago. So in historic time, it really wasn't all that long ago. I mean, it was, you know, a little more than a potential human lifespan. Now, Abraham Lincoln was always a gloomy, melancholy guy. I mean, he understood very clearly that things just weren't going to end well for him. He knew somebody was going to kill him. And I'm sure that he was very curious to see how the sacrifice that so many Americans made, how that was going to turn out. You know, not only losing his own life, but seeing, you know, the hundreds of thousands of Americans die. I'm sure he wondered, was it all worth it? You know, was this actually going to keep the country glued together? And if anybody has ever had a reason to want to stick around for a while just to see if it all worked out, if it was worth it, it would be Abraham Lincoln. He was a very, you know, thoughtful, intellectual guy, and I am sure that, you know, during the break, Sam and I were talking about the difference between entities and imprints, and that's a whole separate subject that we won't get into right now. I've talked about it before, but an entity is literally a spirit, a conscious, interactive, aware human spirit that can make a choice, that can make a decision to delay the process of moving on to the next phase of experience. And I can very easily see why that Abraham Lincoln would have made that decision to stick around to see if all the strategies that he and his administration put into place, these horrible, you know, bittersweet moments, were the right decisions. And so Abraham Lincoln is certainly the most likely candidate for this particular ghost. Now, let's move into some of the new data that's come forth. If you take a look at the website, again, you can go to joshuapwarren.com. You'll find a link there to the page with the report. You watch the video report, you'll see a bunch of different images on that website. And by the way, every single image is clickable. And when you click it, a high-res version will come up because this is a very serious project and I want you to have the access to the best quality possible.
when you look at the image in the background where you have the three men who kind of look like typical 1950s, you know, construction supervisor type standing off to the side wearing their hats, we can assume those guys are of average height. And there is a dark horizontal streak behind them on the wall. And all three of their heads more or less touch that streak. Now, when you look at the figure, the ghostly figure, who doesn't seem to fit in this picture at all, his head also touches that dark streak. However, if you look at his feet are much, much larger than theirs, and his legs are thicker than theirs. What that means is that he was closer to the camera. And if he was closer to the camera, yet his head still hits roughly that same mark that their heads hit, then that means he was a tall man. And we know that Abraham Lincoln was around 6'4". So that shows you right there that the height matches up. In fact, when you also look at the updates, you can see at one point I've taken a close-up of the figure, and I put it side-by-side with the historical photo, a full-length body photo of Abraham Lincoln, and you can see how closely they match. Here is the second update that I want to share with you. You know, this was a big picture, and as I mentioned, Eric and I were very, very focused on looking at this apparition and the men right there around him and the guy in the foreground. But, you know, it's almost embarrassing to say that we missed something. We missed something that a listener of one of these radio programs I went on contacted me and pointed out, which ended up being amazing. I have posted the entire original unedited, uncropped image there on the website. When you go there and you scroll down, again, you can click it and you'll see it's a big, nice, giant, detailed image. In the foreground of the image, even closer to the camera than the bulldozer operator, there is a pile of dirt on the left. And thank goodness, there just so happens to be a workman who is walking down that pile of dirt. And he is literally walking when the photo is snapped. And when you see this workman in motion, you can tell how long the exposure was. Because his hand is there about, you can see his hand twice. Basically, he is blurred about one step as he's moving down this pile. And what that proves is that this photograph could not have been exposed for more than 1 to 2 seconds. Therefore, there is no way with a 1 to 2 second exposure that a person could stand in that position where our figure is and then move out of it and create that form without any type of other blurring or weird images around him. We proved that in our video when we showed Eric trying to run out of the frame as quickly as possible. And by the way, when you watch the video, you can tell this figure is not some, you know, figure caught in deer, you know, caught in the headlights like a deer trying to run away. A very comfortable figure with a very regal posture there. And the fact that we now know the exposure time was no more than 1 or 2 seconds, and we can tell the height of this figure proves this is some kind of an extraordinary image. This supports the fact that this is indeed a ghost. It is a full-bodied apparition. And furthermore, it happens to match the dimensions physically of Abraham Lincoln, and it happens to be standing under the Lincoln bedroom, which is the place where, throughout the past 150 years, most people have seen ghosts, and especially the ghost of Abraham Lincoln.
Question. When you say under the Lincoln bedroom, because of all that dirt in the bulldozer, it looks like there's no floor above it. Wouldn't it be technically in, or how does that work?
Well, the Lincoln bedroom was on the second floor, and these guys are standing at the ground level.
Oh, okay, so it's like sub-basement type thing.
Well, this figure is certainly aligned with the Lincoln bedroom. So in the absence of that floor, that's the closest you're going to be able to get to that position. And before we take our next break, I just want to point out that the fact this photograph came from the era when Harry Truman was president is of enormous historical significance. And this is what opens the door to some conspiracy theories. If this is not a ghost, what else could it possibly be? Could this be an alien? Could this be an interdimensional being? Could it be something even stranger than that?
An observer.
When we come back from this break, I will dig into that a little bit and wrap all this up for you, and you can see how incredible and exciting this whole endeavor has been. I'm Joshua P. Warren. I'm so happy that you're spending your evening with us tonight. This program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual every Saturday night. Every Saturday, you can tune in and listen to us, or go to speakingofstrange.com for podcasts. You can find us on iTunes and all that. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Tonight, Speaking of Strange, I am Joshua P. Warren. Now remember, next hour is what we call the Dark 30 Hour. And that is when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial news, the more sordid and seedy stuff, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. That's why we save it for late at night. And you may or may not want to stick around for that. So keep that in mind. Wrapping up this overview of this photograph that after 25 years of professional research has led me to declare it the world's most amazing ghost photograph. And that is because of the combination of circumstances here, beginning with the fact that it was taken by perhaps the most credible, vetted, researched, competent photographer in history, Abbey Rowe, in the White House, a guy who had no interest whatsoever in doing anything but documenting history properly. And then you combine it with the fact that we have what looks like a full-bodied apparition. It happens to be right here where the Lincoln bedroom was located. People have always said Lincoln haunts that space. all the technical data is adding up in terms of his dimensions, the exposure time. I mean, just all of it is amazing. But I want to briefly dig into something here. You know, this photograph was taken again in 1950 in the White House when President Truman was in office. Now, Harry S. Truman is one of the most controversial people in history. A lot of people hail him as a hero because he brought a swift end to World War II. A lot of people villainize him for being the man who unleashed atomic warfare on mankind. But one thing's for sure. When World War II ended, he was one of the most powerful people in the world, and I think perhaps the most powerful president we've ever had. And he happened to be there during this very delicate period of time. We went right out of World War II into the Cold War. Everybody was waiting to see who was going to drop the next nuke. And then we have the Roswell crash that occurs in 1947, still during his presidency. 18 days later, Truman signed the National Security Act, which formed the Air Force, the CIA, the National Security Council, later the NSA. He created the first Secretary of Defense, and James Forrestal, who later supposedly committed suicide, another very weird story to dig into. And so he was wrapped up in all kinds of bizarre covert stuff. And it may be that all these reports we've heard about him having interactions with aliens or interdimensional beings or time travelers or some kind of intelligence that carried with it an exotic technology was real and actually led to the next president, Eisenhower, making that kind of chilling speech where he warned all of us at the end of his presidency about the, quote, military-industrial complex. So it could be that at some point it was realized that there were so many relationships taking place during that period of time between the United States government and these other beings or intelligences that the government just decided to slap a blanket classified label on all that material, which is why something as innocent as this photograph is now stamped as off limits to a guy like myself who just wants to go in there and look at the negative and get as close as possible to the source, because who knows what else I might find in that image or in other images that might be in the same drawer, right? And it's also important to understand that, you know, George H.W. Bush was a fighter pilot during World War II. He's still alive, okay? During World War II, people in this country were scared to death the Nazis were going to come over here and take over. They still carry that paranoia. We have not moved beyond that generation of people in power, those people of influence who are still so concerned about our security that they will not allow many of these things to be disclosed or unveiled that might actually have beneficial repercussions for us, but could also be abused for some type of militaristic purpose by an enemy. So that is a whole topic that we could dig into for another hour, but you know what? This hour is up. All I can tell you is I hope that you will go look at this video. I hope you'll take that press release. I hope that you will contact all your local media and say to them, hey, look, it's Halloween time. Go to the White House. Go to the National Archives. Go to the Park Service. Put pressure on them to let us see this negative of this photograph. My name is Joshua P. Warren. All the information is at joshuapwarren.com. There is no period after the P at joshuapwarren.com. When we come back from this break, it will be the Dark 30 Hour, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop on Speaking of Strange.